says shoot them ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. British police are now holding 24 suspects, 24, in the terrorist plot to blow up commercial airliners over the Atlantic Ocean in an Islamic jihadist effort to murder 5,000 men, women, and children. We'll give you the names of three alleged ringleaders in a moment. So they plan to commit this terrorist attack. The typical airliner holds about 500 people going over an ocean, and they plan to do this in the coming days or possibly weeks against airplanes from United Airlines and Continental and American and British Airways. So now 24 suspects are under arrest, 22 of the 24. You know how here in America on 9/11, there were 19 hijackers and most of them were from Saudi Arabia? What was it, 15 from Saudi Arabia? Well, 22 of the 24 of these alleged jihadists are of Pakistani origin, from Pakistan. One is a Bangladeshi and another an Iranian. So Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Iran, of course, Muslim hotbeds, especially Iran and Pakistan. Although all 24 of these men are British citizens. They're all British citizens. They're just of Pakistani extract, their background, their heritage. So what we have here is a bunch of Londonistas, right? You've heard of Londonistan? Londonistan, that's the name of a book I picked up, got it right here, some weeks ago by Melanie Phillips. And she writes about Great Britain, which has become the European hub of Islamist extremism for more than a decade now, and that under the noses of British intelligence, a network of terrorists and their sympathizers have used Britain to plot, to finance, to recruit, and train for atrocities in the United States and around the world. The scale of this activity was so large that exasperated European security agencies, in a mocking reference to the Afghan training grounds for Al-Qaeda, dubbed Britain's capital city Londonistan. They call it Londonistan, and these are Londonistas. Now, ABC News is reporting that three of the ringleaders of this foiled terrorist attack, these airplane bomb efforts, have been identified as their plot has been unraveling. And their names, these three now under arrest, are Rashid Rauf, Mohammed Al-Ghandra, and Ahmed Al-Khan. So we only have one ham in there, Mohammed Al-Ghandra. They were arrested before they committed the crime. So, you know, what should their penalty be? Well, they should, if guilty, the penalty should be death. But they haven't yet committed the actual crime, so maybe they'll get probation. Who knows? You see, Hezbollah has not cornered the market on girly men, unfortunately. People, our society is weak, and we don't understand justice. We don't have a backbone. People crave for freedom, and freedom is wonderful to secure, but freedom is secondary to justice. You talk to liberals about freedom, equality, justice, and they think the most important thing is equality. That's all communist countries. They want everyone to be equal, so they take away your freedom and they deny you justice in their effort to make everyone equal. And the only way to be equal is to put everybody in jail, put everybody in prison. Then you could try to make them all equal, even though in prison it's impossible, because to the extent that people are human beings, there's not going to be an equality. Some people are more capable, more persuasive, more intimidating, lazier, brighter, and so on. So to liberals, the further to the left they go, they elevate equality above freedom and justice. Now, liberals that are not that bad, right? If you elevate equality above freedom and justice, then you will build prisons and take away people's freedom, deny them justice to make everybody equal. And of course, that's evil. Liberals who are not that extreme, they look at freedom and justice and they value freedom above justice and peace also, freedom and peace. And of course, justice takes priority over these. For example, someone's committed a crime, they've murdered a neighbor, and they're guilty. And so that person, he's still a human being, and he wants freedom. But because we value justice above freedom, we will not give him his freedom, because justice, the demands of justice, must be served, and he needs to be punished. So above freedom and equality is justice. And that, of course, also stands head and shoulders above peace. So first you have justice. Justice. And the war against terror is a war that you really will win best if you understand right and wrong and justice. And so we are at war against Islamic extremists. And in Britain, where they have imams who are preaching jihad, that inherently is criminal. It's inherently criminal to preach that Jews and Christians should be killed in a jihad. That's inherently criminal. That is conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to commit a crime. So we need to understand that. Even in Iraq, where things are going so poorly, part of the problem is that we're stymied because we're intimidated, or we don't even know, we don't even understand some of the key concepts of justice. Okay. So two of the three ringleaders, they traveled recently to Pakistan, and then later money was wired to them from Pakistan, apparently to purchase tickets for the suicide bombers. And that's one example of the problem with the New York Times. You know, the New York Times doesn't hesitate to report on our government's covert efforts to track terrorists and to capture them. There could be an effort to catch terrorists that the New York Times and other liberal media outlets, and their goal to constantly chastise the American government for trying to win the war on terror, they could actually help the terrorists pull off an attack like this. So thankfully, this, and you can't celebrate yet, you have to keep fighting this, but with a degree of caution, we could celebrate that, hey, this terrorist organization here, they've probably been planning this for perhaps a year and a half. Their plan was to use liquids, to use gels and liquids. In other words, they'd have a sports beverage drink container, and it would have liquids for making a bomb. And then they would have different containers with different liquids and mix them on the airplanes. So that's why all of a sudden in Europe and America now, at least temporarily, you're not allowed to bring any liquids now onto the airplane with you. So you can't bring pops, can't bring water, can't bring hair gel. So that's what's happening. And apparently ABC News is reporting that they plan to trigger the device with the flash from a disposable camera. Undoubtedly, more of the details will be learned. in the coming days and weeks. I've had an article here I've wanted to get to about George W. Bush. He nominated this doctor to be the head of the FDA, Andrew von Eschenbach. So this guy, he's nominated by George W. Bush to be the head of the FDA. And one of the first things he does is he's pushing this abortion-causing drug called Plan B. He's pushing it. He wants it to be available over-the-counter to women over the age of 18. This is an extremist pro-abortion move. That's pretty discouraging. In a few minutes, we'll try to get someone from Human Life International on the line to talk about that. What else is in the news? Before we do that, oh, just real quickly, in the Atlantic Ocean, the temperatures of the water have been plunging, and they're down about 10 degrees. And also, the 2006 Atlantic hurricane season should be less active than originally predicted, according to federal forecasters, prompting Al Gore to go into a depression. What did that say? A depression? Or was that a recession? Oh, Al Gore's upset because he's so desperately hoping for global warming, and they'll take any natural disaster as evidence of global warming. So the hurricanes, they'll do. And now the global warming fanatics are upset that maybe this hurricane season won't be as bad as they thought. And also in the Atlantic Ocean, temperatures dipped more than 10 degrees in many areas. Wow, water temperatures in Daytona Beach, Florida, plunged to a cool 70 degrees this week. But meteorologists said Al Gore has nothing to worry about. Warmer waters were expected to return by the end of August. That's pretty cool. Now, of course, we made that up. Well, all the temperature and hurricane stories were true, but the Al Gore parts we made up. But that's part of homeostasis, right? If it gets a little warmer on the globe, then the winds pick up. The winds blow the warm waters and the cold waters from deeper in the ocean surface, cooling the ocean surface waters, which helps to cool the globe. It's an amazing world we live in. Okay. But right now, let's go to Augusta, Georgia. Ben, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, sir. What's up?
Well, I just found out today that my half-brother, he was in a mental institution. I found out today that he died last month.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and he's been mentally ill for a long time. I think he was diagnosed as paranoid, schizophrenic. I've never really known anybody like that before who died, and it got me thinking, just wanted to get your opinion on what happens, you know, to mentally ill people when they die, if they, you know.
Well, we had a call from Alabama a couple of days ago, and the woman asked about the age of accountability, and I quoted the book of Genesis, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do rightly?" And as Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much is required, and to whom less is given, less is required." So God understands, of course, he knows. He made us. He knows our heart. He could read our minds. God knows what information we have to work with, how we are able to process it. And God is not going to send anyone to hell who loves God or wants to be in heaven.
Right.
So everyone who rejects Jesus Christ, they're telling God, "I'm not interested in you." And when they go to hell, it will be because they prefer to go to hell. Now, sadly, Billy Graham, now in an interview with Newsweek, is quoted as saying the kind of things he's been heading to for years now, pretty much that anybody will go to heaven. And real tragic. You know, Billy Graham has been slipping for years morally and doctrinally. And I don't think it's because he's losing his mind. It's just the liberalism that's rampant in the body of Christ.
That's a shame.
Yeah. So this is your half-brother. What's his name?
David.
David. How old was he?
He was in his 40s.
All right. Japan is wrestling with an increase in mental illness. Mm-hmm. And they say it's a noticeable, significant increase. And they think it has to do with Western practices being picked up in Japan. And when I read that today, I thought that was interesting because I know I have a friend, Mike Wells, Dr. Mike Wells with Abiding Life Ministries. He runs a counseling ministry out of Denver. And he said to me years ago, he said, you know, mental illness is really a luxury of Western society and of wealthy nations. And it's much more rare in other countries and other cultures. And so part of it is because people break when the rules break. So you have people where a doctor says, well, this person has a chemical imbalance. They need these drugs. And you ask, well, which chemicals are out of balance? And they don't know. They have no idea. They just, you know, they say that. And sure, you could give people a rum and coke and it'll mellow them out. So you give people drugs. Somebody goes through a divorce. Somebody's life is crumbling and they go into depression and they give them drugs and they feel better. That's the same reason people go to a bar to feel better.
Yeah. Well, he did drink a lot and he actually died of liver cancer.
We often don't buy the counsel of psychiatrists who say this person has a chemical imbalance. Quite often it's a spiritual issue and it's a battle. Somebody does not have peace with God. Their life is miserable. The world around them is miserable, and so they're miserable.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate that. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. So the planes should have been exploding over the Atlantic Ocean sometime in the coming days or weeks, but hopefully will not, thanks to good police work in Britain and Pakistan. And America, apparently, our law enforcement officials were involved on this investigation. And so this is exciting. It's exciting to be able to thwart something on the magnitude of a 9/11. I have this article here from the Rocky Mountain News. And it's dated August 2nd. I've had it on my desk all this time. And I've just been so angry. This is about the FDA. The man who's nominated to head the FDA is pushing the morning after pill Plan B, which is it's a pill that causes an abortion. And I read this and you think, you know, who nominated this guy? Well, obviously, George W. Bush did. And this guy is promoting Plan B, which is just despicable. So we called Human Life International, and we have Jason Jones, their spokesman, on the line. Jason, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Great to be on your show, Bob.
You're very welcome. Jason, did I mischaracterize this Plan B? Does this pill cause an abortion?
It clearly causes an abortion. It's an abortion-causing drug, and they try to redefine when human life begins. Now they say it begins at implantation. In the 70s, they told us it began at birth. And but of course, human life begins at fertilization.
At fertilization, when a sperm fertilizes an egg, the ovum, that then comes into existence a unique living human being that is genetically complete and also completely different from his mother and his father as far as who will this little boy or girl be.
You know, Bob, when I talk to friends or relatives who support the morning after abortion pill, I tell them, you know, it really doesn't matter if you destroyed your child through partial birth abortion in the third trimester, or if your wife took the morning after pill the morning after. Either way, you would have never held your child, and it would have been your child that you killed.
Yeah, that's right. And there will be a judgment day coming, and people will meet the children that they have killed and those that they have advocated, those who advocate Plan B, the morning after abortion pill. In fact, they'll see an army of children who were robbed the opportunity to enjoy life on earth. It will be similar to the Germans seeing the Jews they killed and being judged for that. And then there are others who will see the babies that they advocated to be slaughtered at abortion clinics. And then all those who they advocated killing via Plan B.
That's right. And, you know, even I'm holding in my hand Planned Parenthood's brochure on Plan B, and under the section, how does it work, it says that it will prevent an egg from implanting in the uterus, a fertilized egg from implanting in the uterus. So
yeah.
And Planned Parenthood's own brochure, Emergency Contraception, with the sun and flowers along the side of it, it admits that it causes an abortion.
Yeah, right. That's what it does. And we've been talking on the show recently about the snowflake children, the fertilized human embryos who are then frozen, and then pro-life Christian mothers began an effort to adopt these frozen embryos. They adopt them. They get them implanted in their womb, and then 9 months later, they give birth to these beautiful children. And if anybody wants to, they could go to our website, kgov.com. Just go down to a show from last week, look for Snowflake Children, and then just click to see the pictures of these beautiful kids. Jason Jones with Human Life International, these are living human beings that people are discarding and that they want to kill with the Plan B abortion pill.
Right, Bob, and I don't understand the schizophrenia of the Bush administration, because I was actually at the White House for the signing of the veto of embryonic stem cell research. And I met the children, the snowflake babies, there, right there, in the White House when the president signed his veto. And I can't understand why the president would not, you know,
why he would nominate someone who is obviously, this is not even just pro-choice. This is extremist pro-abortion, because for one, we're dealing with powerful hormones here, high doses of a powerful hormone to do this therapeutic abortion. And two, we're talking about now pushing it without a prescription. And so this is an extremist pro-abortion move.
I agree, Bob, but we're fortunate that Dr. von Aschenbach has not been confirmed yet, and we would hope that the president would withdraw his nomination and nominate somebody who respects human dignity and would work to protect women instead of cater to powerful pharmaceutical companies.
Well, something like that happened with George W. Bush bringing radical pro-abort Alberto Gonzalez to the White House. He is now U.S. Attorney General, and it was well known that Bush wanted to nominate him for the U.S. Supreme Court, and the pro-life community's outrage prevented that. So now there's a possibility that our outrage again could cause George Bush to pull the nomination of Andrew von Eschenbach.
No, you're right. We did it with Harriet Myers as well. It was the pro-life community that stopped, you know, Harriet Myers in her tracks. What's frightening is the Washington Post broke a story yesterday that George Allen, who many consider the Republican frontrunner for president in 08 for the Republican nomination, owns stock in Bar Pharmaceuticals. And when asked about this, George Allen said that he's proud to own stock in Bard Pharmaceuticals. He thinks they're a great company. In fact, he bragged that he was responsible for bringing a Bard Pharmaceutical plant to Virginia when he was governor. And, of course, Bard Pharmaceuticals manufactures Plan B.
Plan B, right.
They have an arrangement with the owners of the patent, a conglomerate made up of numerous Planned Parenthood affiliates. And now we have Dr. von Eschenbach.
Yeah, right. Now, Jason Jones, you've got a way for people to easily get phone numbers to call and urge the president to withdraw this nomination?
We do. If you go to the Human Life International website and click on Action Alert.
Okay, that's HLI.org.
We have the numbers right there.
HLI.org, and click on Action Alert. People could make calls and ask for the president to withdraw this nomination.
Can I give out the president's phone number, Bob?
Yeah, sure.
It's 202 456-1111.
All right. 202-456-1111. Jason Jones, thank you so very much.
No, thank you, Bob. God bless.
Really appreciate that. Jason is with Human Life International, and we're going to real quickly go to Los Angeles. Dave, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Bob, great show yesterday on economics with Neil Bortz.
Thank you so much.
I love it when you discuss that.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
It is. And actually, he was very rude as you were chopping him down little by little. He was very rude by saying that you had no argument, no valid argument.
Yeah, he said these were the most inane objections to a national sales tax he had ever heard. If they were so inane, he should have been able to refute them.
Exactly.
It went really well. We've highlighted that show on kgov.com, and he promised to link to it from his website, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, me too.
But real quickly, Bob, I have a friend that called me up last night.
Yeah.
Said that his mother-in-law has had a brain aneurysm.
Oh.
They've given her 5 days to live unless she has a certain surgery.
Yes.
My friend's response is, and all of the family is telling her, have the surgery. Her response is, I'm not going to have the surgery. I'm going to pray to God for a healing, and I'm going to get healed.
Yeah, that is superstitious Christianity. That's tragic. It's biblically naive. And, you know, God doesn't want to be our butler. And that's what a lot of Christianity has turned God into, your butler. If you're a Christian, then God will solve all your problems. And that's just not it. God said to the Apostle Paul, he said, grace is sufficient for you. Grace is sufficient. And God did not heal the Apostle Paul. Unlike the people, the sick people in the Gospels, they pretty much all got healed, whereas in the epistles, they pretty much all died.
So, Bob, if that was your mother-in-law, as a mature Christian, with the situation that is happening, where she either will have to get the surgery or the doctor's saying she's dead in 5 days, as a mature Christian, what should be our prayer for this situation?
Okay, here's how we pray at Denver Bible Church. We pray to ask God for wisdom so that we could make the proper decisions and use the resources he's given us to their optimal advantage.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for courage, because sometimes doing the right thing is difficult. We pray for strength. We don't pray for something superstitious, or we don't pray for God to be a butler. You know, somebody overeats all their life, they don't work out, and then they're having a heart attack, and they ask God to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the point of that?
Exactly.
God shows in the Bible that when he did miracles for the people, the more miracles he did, the more the people hated him. That's the rule in the Bible. The more miracles God does, the more people hate him. It happened with the Egyptians, although they were plagues against the Egyptians. It had it with the Israelites. They hated God. Even as they crossed the Red Sea and entered the wilderness, they hated God. And for 40 years, God protected them. He fed them, and they hated God. And Jesus Christ, he did miracles throughout Israel, from the north in Galilee, the south in Judea, in Jerusalem, and they hated Jesus Christ. And given the opportunity, they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. So miracles tend to produce unbelief. That's what miracles tend to produce. And that goes against what you might think at first. But if you read through the Bible, here's what we did, Dave, in my manuscript called The Plot. We've listed every single miracle that happens in the Bible in a big chart. And we show the miracle, where it occurs, what Bible verses. And then there's a column that shows the response of the people. And the response of the people who witnessed the miracle or received the miracle is overwhelmingly evil. Overwhelmingly evil. And Jesus said, if they won't believe the word of God, they will not believe if they see a miracle. So we don't pray for supernatural healing. We pray for God to help us by grace to deal with the situation, to have wisdom and courage.
And I asked my friend, Bob, I said, well, let me ask you, if she does not have the surgery and she dies within the next 5 days,
yes,
are you going to blame that on God? And he said, even though they're praying for healing,
yeah.
And he said, no, in that case, it's because she didn't get the surgery. And then I followed up and said, okay, let's say that she doesn't have the surgery and some kind of way she pulls through. Then what will you say? He says, then I will say 100% that she has had a miracle done by God.
Yeah, so you're getting at exposing the superstition of it all.
Exactly.
People who hate God, atheists, Satanists, will go to the hospital and recover. Some people will have cancer, it'll go into remission. And it has nothing to do with asking God for a healing, because God did the miracle when he created Adam and Eve 6,000 years ago. That was the miracle. And so God made our bodies so they're incredibly resilient and they're able to bounce back often. And so when we do recover, it is superstitious to say that that was a supernatural miracle. That's superstition. And unbelievers spot that superstition. They know, they see it immediately, and it lowers our credibility, and it makes it harder to share the gospel with millions of unbelievers who see this stuff. And then people go to hell in part because they're stumbling at the superstition of Christians.
And Bob, stories like this, what you're saying, I'm very glad you're doing it. And those programs that you did when you were out of town, where you played the Denver Bible Church sermons on prayer.
That's right.
You're very rarely on radio or television will you hear a pastor or even a talk show host tackle the issue of prayer in this way. And thank you very much for going ahead and doing it.
You're welcome, Dave. That's so encouraging. I really appreciate your call.
God bless you, Bob.
God bless you. Boy, that was real nice. And if you have not read our manuscript, The Plot, I think you owe it to yourself. Plus, it's a money-back guarantee if these issues interest you. For example, have you considered what does the Bible teach about miracles? The Bible teaches overwhelmingly that miracles produce unbelief. That is why God does not do daily miracles. Now, Christians who claim daily miracles, they mean that they have a sore foot and then it feels better. They have a headache and it went away. They try to start the car and it won't start. They pray and it starts. They say it was a miracle. That's not a miracle. Unbelievers, they go to start their car, it doesn't start. They try two or three, four times, and it starts on the fourth try. When you say that's a miracle, you're misrepresenting God, and you're turning God into your butler. And God resents that. He resents it. Jesus said, "It is a wicked and perverse generation that seeks a sign." And yet, so much of Christianity is obsessed with signs and wonders. And they say, God, we're not leaving this place until you show us a sign. And the only sign God was willing to show them was to open up the earth and suck them all down alive into hell. Except that God had mercy and was patient. So in the Plot manuscript, we go through every miracle in the Bible. We list them for you to look at them one by one and consider the response of the people who received the miracles. Even the people who received the miracles hated God for the most part. Very rarely, it was the minority position that people who witnessed or experienced miracles responded in love for God, in faith. That was rare. Common was people see miracles and they hate God all the more. So why is that? Well, we've talked about it on various programs on Bob and Ert Live. We have a little brochure. If you order anything from us, order something from us online at kgov.com from our store up in the top right of the website, Bob's Materials, or call us at 800-836-9278. And if you order anything, one of our videos, Get Out of the Matrix, or Unlocking the Mystery of Life, or the Plot manuscript, we will give you, if you request, a flyer, a pamphlet on miracles. And this little pamphlet will blow your mind. You will love it. So just request, over the next couple weeks, if you place an order, just request a pamphlet on miracles, and I really think you'll enjoy that. We will take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This got my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to Bob and Yart Live. I'm sitting in a radio studio. You guys are out there in Radioland listening on the internet or in your cars or in your homes. And there are people fighting in Afghanistan, Americans, and in Iraq. And there are law enforcement officials tracking terrorists here and around the world. And personally, I'm very grateful to our armed forces and law enforcement for their efforts. I wish that our leaders would have more wisdom, more courage, and strength. That's what we pray for. At Bob and Yart Live, that's primarily what we pray for. We don't pray for the supernatural. If someone is going to shoot at innocent people, we don't pray for the bullets to stop in midair and fall to the ground. That doesn't happen. But we pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for ourselves, and then we could influence others, those around us, hopefully influence our culture to some extent, which in turn could potentially influence our leaders. So that's one of the ministries of Bob and Yart Live. That's part of what we do. That's why we talk about current events, domestic and foreign policy. And we're glad, I'm thankful that you are a part of this, because there's a battle, and the battle is for the minds of men. That's what the battle is. And the spiritual battle that you fight, if you're a believer in Christ, the spiritual battle you fight is in your mind and in your heart. That's where the battles are fought. They're not fought in our taste buds or in our skin. That's not where the battle is fought. It's fought in our minds and in our hearts. So that's why the Bible emphasizes wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Okay, additional items in the news that I wanted to cover include members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard have been found among Hezbollah guerrillas killed by Israeli forces in southern Lebanon. That's really interesting. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then there's Keith Olbermann with MSNBC, Keith Olbermann. He has a new show there, Countdown with Keith Olbermann. And the ADL, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, has sent him an open letter asking him to stop using the Nazi salute that he uses to make fun of people, especially Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly. So we'll talk a bit about that. And other items, more lighthearted items in the news. Even dead people can't escape AOL. America Online continues to charge people half a year after they're dead. And the relatives call in pleading with them to cancel. One woman, she called in, Maxine Gauthier. She doesn't even own a computer. She's 55 years old. She called AOL repeatedly saying that her late father had an AOL charge, but he died. And she doesn't even know where the on key is on a computer. and she's trying to cancel her father's AOL account. And you know what? This AOL service guy, and I believe this 100%. Have you heard some of the horror stories about trying to cancel with AOL? We've experienced it firsthand. An AOL service guy told her to stop complaining and learn to use a computer, and then he hung up on her. That was her eighth call. So that is undoubtedly true. AOL, they treat people like dirt, and their denials are lies. Oh, yeah, and MTV. Oh, brother. MTV, obviously, everybody who knows right from wrong knows that MTV is nothing but just filth and trash. Well, there is a group called IndustryEars.com. They're an industry watchdog group with the media. They look at children's programming and Saturday morning cartoons. And MTV has a Saturday morning cartoon that the founder of Industry Ears, his name is Paul Porter. He said, in my 10 years of monitoring children's programming, I've never seen anything this offensive. And that's saying a lot. And I can't even describe to you what it is that he's talking about. Just generally, I won't describe the particulars, but generally they have a cartoon where some black rock star is walking his women around on leashes, and they're walking on all fours like they're dogs. And that really is a good picture of how MTV presents women as animals, as dogs in the gutter. That really is. And if I were to describe to you the segment, what happened, you would be repulsed. And that's where things are at with MTV. Okay, what else? Well, I've got a note here. My wife and I were talking, Cheryl and I were talking about Mel Gibson and how terrible it was that, first of all, he's out drinking. He's got women, you know, they want his autograph, whatever. They're hanging all over him. He's obviously drunk in news photos that have been released. And then he goes out speeding, so drunk driving. Then he goes on his vicious tirade against Jews. And so all that, which is inexcusable, and someone who does that is committing a crime, needs to be punished. His wife needs to have a serious talking to her husband. But then Mel Gibson is sorry, he repents, and hopefully the sorrow is sincere. Well, we compared that to what he did when he was drunk to probably 1,000 Hollywood movies and TV programs that aggressively go out of their way to mock Christians and Christianity. And so Mel Gibson unleashes this tirade against Jews, which is wrong and sinful, and Hollywood rightly is appalled. But look at the hypocrisy of how they mock Jesus Christ, they mock Christians as aggressively as they possibly can. So note that hypocrisy. Okay. All right. So that's MTV, and I will not describe to you the segment that it's just unbelievable. It's been reported in some mainstream news outlets, the disgust that people have for what's going on. That doesn't mean it'll change. That does not mean it'll change. Okay. Now, in southern Lebanon, where Israel is fighting, and we, of course, we're doing everything we can to build up public support for Israel and against the notion that they should be pressured for a ceasefire. They should have the opportunity to fight as long and as fiercely as they deem worthwhile in order to go after Hezbollah, resources, weapons, ammunition stashes, and fighters. That's what they need to do, and they've been doing that. And Hezbollah is not a national government. They're a political party. They started out as a private group. a religious group, and private groups and political parties don't have the right to build armies and to wage war, to use lethal force. They don't have that right. Tom Tancredo and the Minutemen don't have the right to start lobbing rockets on Tijuana. They don't have that right. National governments have the right to use lethal force if, of course, they use it justly. Well, private individuals and private organizations, religious groups, and political parties like the Party of Allah, the girly men in the Party of Allah, where they hide behind children and women's skirts as they fire rockets at Jewish men, women, and children, they don't have the right to use force to try to influence public policy. They don't have that right. That's what makes them terrorists. They're terrorists. And now it turns out, while we know that Iran funds Hezbollah and a number of Hezbollah weapons come from Iran through Syria, now, according to Reuters, and Reuters is citing Israeli sources, that members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard have been found among the Hezbollah guerrillas slain by Israeli forces in southern Lebanon. That obviously is significant. So Iran is a nation state. They're a nation. They have a national government. And one reason that terrorism is so destructive and so devastating, so destabilizing, is because it's on an important level, it's easier to hold nations to account than it is to hold private organizations to account. Terrorist organizations just melt away into the general population of a nation. And so they commit a crime like 9/11, and then you got to figure out, well, who did this? There was no army here. Who is doing this? Who's responsible? And who could be held to account? Whereas nations could typically be held to account if they attack a neighbor unjustly. Then, okay, here's the nation, here's their army, and they could be held to account. We have so many conservative talk show hosts and talking heads on TV who are lamenting the fact that 1967 war, Israel wiped out five Arab armies in 6 days. In the past, Israel takes on Arab armies and they wipe them out quickly. And they say, look at this. This has been going on for weeks in Lebanon against Hezbollah. Hezbollah must be stronger than all these Arab armies. That's not the case. Hezbollah terrorists are willing to hide behind children and women's skirts, fire rockets from behind women and children. That's why we call them the girly men of Allah. Hezbollah, the party of Allah. And they're cowards. And not only do they hide behind women and children to fight, and then they run away in time for the retaliation to kill the civilians that they were hiding behind, but they're aiming specifically at women and children. That's their goal. That's their focus. And so to compare the effort that Israel is going through now with the war, the 1967 war, that's not an apples-to-apples comparison, because you're fighting against terrorists who are hiding among civilians. You're not fighting nation against nation. And this kind of fighting, obviously, is more destructive, and it's more cruel of the Muslims against their own people and their own citizens. And in Iraq, the thousands upon thousands upon thousands who are being slaughtered, they're being slaughtered, Muslims slaughtering Muslims, overwhelmingly Muslims slaughtering Muslims. And that's typically the way these things go, so that liberals who don't know right from wrong, liberals, they think they're helping while they're encouraging those who are slaughtering their neighbors. They encourage Muslims who are slaughtering Muslims, just like liberals who are weak on crime here in America. And what happens? The homicide rate among, let's say, black men in America, young black men, the number one cause of death is murder. Murder. And so liberals are weak on crime. They think they're being nice to minorities by being weak on crime. And then cities like Washington, D.C. or New Orleans become the murder capitals of the nation. And it's almost all black on black crime. I mean, just in particular, you could find Chinese on Chinese crime and Italian on Italian crime. I'm talking about that as an example. All right. So now in Lebanon, we have Iran's Revolutionary Guard, their soldiers being found among the Hezbollah guerrillas slain by Israeli forces. And so that helps to solidify for those who are especially slow or dull witted. That helps to solidify that Iran is behind these attacks on Israel. So that if Israel were to attack Tehran, not that they will, but if they were, they would be justified. They would be justified. If a nation uses an organization as an intermediary and says, here are these bombs, go drop them on New York City, then that nation funding and arming the terrorist group, that is our real enemy. The intermediary group, well, they're in the way, but the nation, it's Iran and Syria, are our primary enemies in the Islamic world. And that, unless things go surprisingly well, which would be truly unexpected for some reason, things will continue to build toward conflict with Syria and Iran. And hopefully, if Israel dealt a devastating blow to Lebanon, then perhaps that could discourage the Islamic globalist dreams of taking over the world. They lose Afghanistan, they lose Iraq, they lose Libya, and they lose Lebanon. The best thing that can happen in Lebanon is for Israel to utterly punish the country of Lebanon for allowing a terrorist organization to operate freely within its borders. That's the best thing that could happen. Barring that, we march inexorably toward conflict with Syria and Iran. We're out of time. Check out our website, kgov.com. This is Bob Enyart saying God bless you.